News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, good morning to you, Minister, joined by Minister for Public Expenditure and All Paschals, Paschal Donoghue. We're delighted to have you in studio. Before we get into the meat of today, what we were just talking about, the idea of incentivising civic-mindedness, is that something, I mean, you're North Dublin, has a problem with things like litter, antisocial behaviour. Would there be anything in this, do you think, for here?
I'm not sure if you pay for somebody to be civic-minded, it's the same as being civic-minded. I mean, I think being civic-minded is people
duty's sake.
It's engaging in behaviour because you believe it's the right thing for your community or for your country. And instead, what we need to do is support good behaviour and invest in, for example, the work that Dublin City Council does. And talking of being civic-minded, for me, the staff of Dublin City Council demonstrate that when I'm coming into work, when I'm in going down Berkeley Road, going down towards O'Connell Street, every single morning, I see the cleansing team from Dublin City Council out doing filthy work,
yeah,
cleaning up our streets before the day begins.
We're in very early and I see it here too.
They are the civic heroes of this city.
But incentivising other people who maybe wouldn't have that mindset currently, nothing in that, you don't think?
Oh, well, look, maybe there is something in it, but I do think per euro spent, where we would get a better return is how we support cleaning teams and how we ensure we have proper recycling facilities in the city and proper places for rubbish and waste to be disposed of. And it's pretty evident that we have some way to go in that in some parts of the city, though I do think things are getting better on it.
OK. Speaking of euro spent, let's talk a little bit about the summer economic statement. The 5% spending increase rule, why was that brought in?
It was brought in by me in 2020. And it was brought in because I believed it was important to have an anchor of a certain level of public spending within the country. I still believe that's the case. And I believe that rule has played a very important role in trying to and ensuring we're back in a position of real health in our public finances.
OK. And yet we haven't stuck to it at all.
For two reasons. We had a pandemic that nobody saw coming and we had inflation that nobody saw coming. And if I had stuck at the 5% rule during that period, I wouldn't have been able to help at a time of a pandemic and support our economy in the way I and the government did. And if I'd stuck to it during a period of inflation, it would have meant real cuts in public services and not being able to support households with soaring inflation.
So are you saying these were extraordinary times, so we called for extraordinary measures?
Well, they certainly were extraordinary times and we are coming out of them now. But we are still dealing with the aftermath and the consequences of it.
OK, because we are looking at a 6.9% increase for next year. And included in that, I mean, you might, and I know about the capital expenditure, and I think there's an argument for spending more money on that. It's 10 point something percent. But current expenditures, you know, just paying the bills, just paying the public, I suppose, sector pay increases, things like that, that amounts to 6.4%. And we're not in a pandemic now. So what's the justification for that kind of increase?
So there are two reasons for it. Firstly, where we are with health expenditure. We are increasing health spending both for this year and for next year. That is for two reasons. The first one is I have to acknowledge the reality now that the cost of running some of our public services is growing. And particularly with our health services, there is a definite increase and change in the numbers of people and the kind of illnesses that are presenting in our emergency departments at the moment. Running alongside that, equally transparently, we've issues in relation to control, in relation to the number of people we are recruiting within our public service and the work that they are doing with regard to our health services.
I am interested in the health service because Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly has sat in this studio and he has said that one of the issues with the health service is productivity, and that even when we throw more money at it and we add consultants and we add, I suppose, funding and resources, we're actually seeing things like number of patients seen per head, per doctor, going down. Number of patients seen per outpatients going down. Are you not concerned? I mean, we're putting all kinds of strictures on RTE about what they can and can't do and transparency. Should the same not be applied in terms of efficiencies in the health service?
So if I may make two quick points on it. First one is we are one of the few countries in Europe that are now seeing waiting lists fall for the second year in a row. We are a country that over a decade have seen huge improvements in your ability to recover from getting a stroke, getting cancer, getting a heart attack. They are really important outcomes that mean we are living for longer and we are healthier. On the other hand, and I was very clear about this yesterday, we have for the first time now directly involved the HSE in an agreement for this year and next year in relation to the level of public spending in our health services and the exact number of people who will be involved, recruited and kept within our health service, because we have to get the balance right. I accept we need to spend more and invest more in our health services, and we are. But the rate of increase in the first half of this year of spending is not one any government will be able to fund year after year.
Okay.
And that's why I've taken a different approach at this point in the year.
A couple of quick things. Inheritance tax, are we going to see a change in the threshold there? A lot of people are talking about that the current level at 335,000, it isn't enough.
That will be a budget day decision. It's very much a matter for the Minister for Finance, Minister Chambers, and decisions like that can never be revealed before budget day.
A lot of people talk about your relationship with the previous Minister for Finance, Michael McGrath, as being quite pivotal in the good functioning of the coalition, that was a point where Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil intersected and worked really well together. How are things with the new Minister for Finance?
I'm certain it's going to be the same with Minister Chambers. We've only been working together actually only for a number of days now, and I'm already certain the government will deliver its final budget. I believe it will be a sensible budget. I think it'll get the balance right between helping with today and getting ready for what tomorrow will bring. And I very much look forward to completing that work with Minister Chambers.
We had the CEO of Fuels for Ireland on earlier, who's calling for a deferral or indeed a cancellation of the increase in excise that is due on the 1st of August. The increase going back on fuel that was removed during times of the cost of living crisis. Is there any wriggle room with this? He says it's affecting the poorest people the most.
So the excise, the excise change that's planned for August should go ahead, and it will go ahead. The reason for that is, while I fully expect and appreciate it will have an impact on those who are paying for fuel, I do appreciate that we brought all of these changes in when inflation was above 10%. It's now around 2%. And we are simply spending money in the wrong way, in the wrong areas, if we don't go ahead with the changes we've committed to.
Couple of other things. The current, I suppose, standoff at Aer Lingus, obviously, that Labour Court has made its recommendations, the pilots are reviewing them. But there is a current worked rule in place that they aren't going to remove until they've decided, which we're hearing could be another week, there'll be more flights cancelled. Should now, with those new recommendations and them under review, should the pilots stop their worked rule? Should they actually think of the travelling public now, while they decide, do you think?
Yes, and I believe that every effort should be taken to minimise the harm that has already been done for the ability of people to go on holiday, go on work travel, and the damage that has been done to.
So would you call on IALPA to temporarily suspend their action while they review that recommendation?
I would always call for, when a strike is taking place or industrial action is taking place, for that to be paused and deferred while people are considering a recommendation from the Labour Court. And the one point I would make is, having engaged with the Labour Court many times myself over the last 10 years, at the Labour Court recommendation, it's the last show in town from an industrial relations perspective. Any process that ever follows from that is never any different or better than what the Labour Court do, because it can't be. Any other process undermines the work of the Labour Court, and we can't let that happen.
Minister, we've just passed a milestone that I think none of us were happy to see. The 100th road death has occurred in this country. We are 14% up on this time last year in terms of our road deaths. What if, I mean, I suppose it's hard to know if that is a trend or if that is an aberration because of statistics, the way they work. Yeah. But what, if anything, can be done? Because so many lives have been lost this year in particular.
So I was heartbroken to hear about that yesterday, actually, because I remember the years in which we were making such strong progress in reducing the number of deaths and serious injuries that were taking place on our roads. And I think even at this point in the year, I think there's three things that we'll have to continue to do. Firstly, we do have to emphasise the role of personal responsibility here. I'm not, of course, casting any aspersions on how lives were lost or injuries have been caused in the past. But when you're behind the wheel of a car, the responsibility that you have, the need to keep away from the phone, to be aware of your surroundings and so on,
do we
is
need
so important.
Then more education and awareness campaigns? Is that
well,
what we
I
need?
Think the Road Safety Authority have done an awful lot on that in recent months. I certainly can see the advertising campaigns that they are running emphasising the role of our responsibility when you're behind the wheel of the car. But then secondly, of course, then is the role of the guards and the deterrence role they can play. And thirdly, we are looking at the Road Safety Authority and how we can better support them in their work, and maybe even legislation with regard to this and some change, just as we have changed the penalty point regime now over the last year, because my heart goes out to the loss of life in any circumstances, but particularly when it happens on our roads.
Very lastly, it's being reported in the papers this morning that both Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar are expected to retire from politics, to announce their retirement from politics fairly soon. I often think of the three of you as peers. You're of a similar vintage and you came up through Fine Gael. Fine Gael obviously has lost a lot of TDs, a lot of, I'm sure you would say, good colleagues over the last... Well, first of all, what is going on? And what would you say? Do you feel a bit like the last man standing, or do you feel that there is a pressure now to exit
politics? Getting all the lines in this show this morning. The Minister for Pascals and last man standing. I don't know what I'm... What else is this interview going to bring?
It's a probing interview, Minister.
A probing interview, it certainly is.
But do you have a sense that politics seems to be becoming a younger man's game?
Firstly, like with my colleagues and friends, Simon and Leo, I mean, they've been at this for a long time. And I think in any walk of life, you reach the point where you think you've done your best and you want to do something different.
Nowhere near for you?
No, my name is going to be going forward to the selection convention for Fine Gael in Dublin Central next week. I'm going to contest the next election, as I have always said. And I feel far from feeling like the last man standing at the moment. If I look around the work that, in particular, our new Taoiseach and Simon is doing, I feel very positive about where things stand in Fine Gael and ready for what the future can bring.
Minister Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Ciara.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.